WNST Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the spring season here, and basketball's over, and I know down at the college they're playing lacrosse, and we got baseball happening and all that. I have never had my next guest on, and obviously a strength of his family and for so many people here who knew his boy. Marty McNair joins us here to talk about all things his son and the foundation and laws that are being passed in the aftermath of a tragic, tragic loss of his boy going on 3 years ago. I know it probably feels like 3 minutes ago to you. Sir, it is good to have you aboard. A real Baltimore. And you know what? I went West Baltimore at Catonsville here with State Fair. Even with a little Maryland flag, because I'm hungry for the shrimp and grits and the chicken and waffles, Marty. But I know you've had a busy time here, I guess, during COVID and with all sorts of things to honor your boy. It is a pleasure to have you on under tough circumstances.
Hey, Nestor, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, for sure.
Well, you've been hard at work on this foundation, yeah. And obviously everything that happened in the aftermath of the loss of your son. Where are we now? I mean, you're now at the point with just not being an advocate and raising money and raising awareness and keeping but trying to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, man. So clearly, you know, the last 3 years have totally been life changing since Jordan's passing, man. And, you know, one of the big things, you know, that we started was, you know, we started a foundation, and the reason that we started a foundation, because, you know, one of the questions, you know, you ask yourself as a parent, you know, whenever you have a child that's at that particular time that was seriously injured, you know, you always want to know what happened first and foremost. And, you know, it was really just so many things that, you know, we really weren't aware of in regards to the type of injury. Jordan passed from complications of a heat related injury. And most importantly, you know, as a student athlete all his life, you know, I told him to do the everything. I told him to be a coachable kid, just to be an all-around good guy, you know, always a leader, never a follower, and all these different things. However, you know, it was a lot of things that I really didn't know about that I didn't teach him. So one of the things, as many, you know, parents in America of student athletes, you know, our only concern is, you know, can my child play and why isn't my child playing? You know, we don't think about any of the questions, the laundry list of questions that we would ask to keep our child safe, you know, once we let them go into somebody else's care or something like that. And, you know,
well, you were pretty far into this. I mean, it's like Maryland was the only place you could have gone, right? I mean, there were a lot of places that were recruiting, and, you know, it feels like a minute ago your family was on that pursuit of Alabama, Ohio, you know, any of those type of place because your boy was on that track, right?
That he was. And it's interesting, Nestor, because, you know, his mom, Tanya, and I, that's what we always referred to him as, the boy. You know, and so, you know, that's always, you know, we always looked at Jordan, you know, you taking the boy back to school, you picking the boy up. So that was always our term of affection between us, term of endearment between us. But yeah, man, you know, that was really the thing. Like, we had options.
And, but you weren't asking those kind of questions, you know, about their medical facilities. You were asking about it's the last thing in the world you're thinking of. If something happens to my boy, who's looking after him, right?
Exactly. Or,
and in what way?
Yeah, and that was really the main thing. You know, our biggest concern was really, like, you know, you want to, I'm going to tell you, it's real simplistic. You know, you as a parent, you think about school or life after football. But while you're picking a school, you're looking at winning. You're looking at winning championships. And I, like every other parent, you know, hey, if Jordan wanted to go to the NFL or he made it to the professional level of the sport, clearly, we would have supported him as well in regards to that. So, you know, at times when you're in a recruitment trail, you know, you're looking at those things. You're looking at wins. You're looking at life after football. You're looking at, you know, can my child make it to, you know, the next level to, you know, live out his or her dreams in regards to that.
Well, yeah, in your case, I mean, you picked the state school. I mean, you picked the place where your family could be close and you could be there, right? Yeah. I mean, literally, couldn't be much closer unless you went to Towson, right?
I know, right? How about that? And that was one of the things, you know, Jordan wanted to stay home, and he bit into the concept. I used to tell him all the time, you know, son, you know, you got options. It's always, let's go somewhere and play where you need it as opposed to where you want it. Because where you want it, that may not be where you can get a chance to, you know, showcase what your talents are. Whereas though, if you want it, I mean, if you need it, obviously you can go in and make an impact. And of course, you know, when you can sell a young person on building a dynasty, you know, it's nothing better than that to try to get them to the next level.
I actually had an old North Carolina friend on this week, you know, lamenting the loss of Roy Williams and all that, talking ACC and Maryland and the history and all that. I mean, obviously, you're a local guy. I mean, you own a local endeavor here and helping people and fixing their lives and in counseling people. Why was Maryland the choice?
You know what? I'm going to tell you, man, you know, the coach at the time, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, he had a formula that, you know, really kind of worked with kids. And, you know, it's all young people wear Jordans nowadays. And I believe, you know, the coach at the time asked Jordan, you know, hey, if they had the new Jordans and they came out and they were in Baltimore, or they were in Philadelphia, where you going to go drive? Where would you go to get them? And he said, oh, I'm going to go to Baltimore. That was the closest thing, you know, and clearly that just kind of, he sold them a lot of kids on the concept of, hey, let's build something here. We can build a dynasty here. And I think it was actually believable. I mean, they had a really good recruiting class that year, probably the best recruiting class they had had in some time. And they just kind of bought into it. And, you know, I think a lot of his peers and the guys that he came in with basically bought into, hey, let's build something significant here, you know, and put, you know, all the local guys back on the map.
Well, they wanted this to be a football school, right? I mean, like, you know, that's part of the allure of taking a young man like your son that could have gone and played at other places. That's how you win at College Park in any sport, right? Or any college in Baylor in basketball on Monday or Gonzaga or whatever. Marty McNair is here. Tell me about the foundation, because I hear so many things and I've seen you raising awareness in many, many ways. And I think, you know, and look, my wife's a 2-time leukemia battler. People would always ask me, are you trying to get swabs? Are you trying to raise money? Are you trying to, you know, raise awareness? You're trying to save lives. I'm like, yes, all the above, right? All of that. Give me a little mission statement and bring me to where you are in creating real change. I mean, you're here to talk about making lasting change with government and again, to make sure this doesn't happen again. And I have such admiration for people that go through this trauma to say, let's make sure that we're the last victim, that there's not another victim like this.
Yeah. So, Nestor, the main thing is, like you just said, you know, we do all of those things, but one of the things that we kind of got very, very definitive about, which was our mission, and our mission is to promote awareness, education, and the prevention of all heat-related injuries, as well as diminish the number of heat-related deaths. And how do we do that? We do that by educating everyone that we could possibly educate. But most importantly, you know, what we started doing was educating parents, coaches, student athletes themselves, where, you know, it was a different type of education for everybody. We were basically teaching everybody the signs and symptoms of, you know, this is a heat-related injury. And when your body feels like this, this is what you should do.
Cold water would have saved your boy's life, right?
Yeah, if a cold water tub may have been on the field, and if they had acted in that 15 to 30-minute window to cool that core body temperature down, he'd probably still be here today. Yeah.
Well, you know, I invite everyone to go support the Jordan McNair Foundation.org, the Jordan McNair Foundation.org. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Twitter. Marty's out there. You're still doing great work helping people. Talk about what you do in the real world here when you're not promoting this just incredible tragedy to your life.
Man, well, the thing is, a lot of people really didn't know, like, I co-owned a substance abuse treatment facility, mental health and substance abuse treatment facility in Baltimore City. So I've always been an advocate, Nestor, you know. So when Jordan went down, you know, the thing was, my advocacy efforts just really changed. The topic just changed. But I always taught Jordan to be an advocate. If it's something that you felt that was an injustice and you felt strongly in it and somebody needed to have a voice, you know, clearly, please speak up. And those were things that I just kind of instilled in him all of his life. So I've always been advocating, whether it was the reentry arena, you know, substance abuse, mental health, all of that kind of tied in together. So I was always doing like podcasts and things like that, literally up until the time Jordan went down. And then it just kind of totally shifted. So everything that I thought that I was prepping Jordan for, you know, just in regards to being a better person, I never realized I would actually use these things on the platform that we are on now. So we've been, you know, extremely busy, and this is what I've always done. So I know to a lot of people from the outside looking in, it may have looked like it was relatively easy, but this was always kind of like my track that, you know, hey, I always wanted to give a voice to the voiceless in a sense.
Well, I tell you what, you know, going through your own therapy and through all of this post-trauma, I just hats off to you for everything. And I appreciate the visit. You always have an open door here to come on. I want to pull this up, thejordanmcnairfoundation.org. I'll pull the website up so everybody can find out stuff you're doing. And, you know, and in and around love of sports and love of football and love of Maryland, quite frankly, and, you know, and the state and kids and all of this stuff that you're doing. What is your hope here in the coming years? Of, you know, maybe changing more laws and changing more things than you already have.
Yeah, man. So the big thing with that, Nestor, is, you know, we just got this is our third law that has been passed, and hopefully this one will get passed. We got two already, one at the Baltimore City level. That's the Jordan McNair Youth Safety Protection Act. And then we also have the Jordan McNair Act at the collegiate level. And basically what these things all boil around is student athlete safety. Obviously, at the Baltimore City level, you know, that's for AAU levels of competition. The Jordan McNair Act, that protects student athletes at the collegiate level in the state of Maryland. If they feel uncomfortable in any type of environment, especially around the sports environment, they can call a number anonymously and report their concerns without any fear of retribution or anything like that. And then what's the big news right now is the Jordan McNair Safe and Fair Play Act. And that's really where players are getting paid for their likeness. But, you know, the main goal, we got behind this law with the support of our Brooke Learman, Senator Justin Reedy. And the reason that we got behind this law, because it really applied to our mission of protecting student athletes at the collegiate level from a health and safety perspective, health, safety, and wellness perspective. And most importantly, you know, one of the things that we wanted to emphasize, no parent sends their student athlete away to college to not return. You know, we send our kids away to college just to really become better people and get prepared for life, not for them to succumb to any negative type of energy, especially from adults and things like that, or from systematic failures. So these were the things that we were very, very adamant about. And it just ironically went in our favor where the health and wellness component of it really went to the forefront of the bill. But again, even as student athletes getting paid for their likeness, let me kind of, you know, simplify this for a lot of people. Colleges aren't paying kids to come to school and we're just flat out going to pay you. However, let's just say a student athlete that's playing in the NCAA and they write a book. You know, clearly, as it stands right now, before the laws pass, obviously that person can't make any money off a book that they've written, or if they drew a piece of art, they couldn't get paid for that without any type of NCAA infractions. If they played in a band, they couldn't, I mean, you know, really capitalize or just really profit off of that. So when we say players are getting paid for their likeness and images, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about saying, hey, this person's going to get paid off a video game. If that's the case.
Well, maybe, the Ed O'Bannon story. I mean, I've had Ed on the show, you know, through the course of years. I mean, you look to be old enough. Maybe we remember Ed dribbling, especially with UCLA or running around there the other night. Right. But I remember the glory days of all that. But yeah, I you know, it makes me squeamish. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not as big a college sports fan as I'm not as big a sports fan just based on the things I'm doing with Baltimore Positive now. But I would say for whenever March Madness starts, and it started a couple weeks ago, when I see all these kids dribbling, and I have a dear friend that loves the NBA, and I see, why don't you love college basketball? He says, watching the kids play for free makes me sick. And I think for all of us that were of that age that may have had that skill set like your boy in any level, and if you're a lacrosse player, you know, wouldn't occur to you. It's just the money sports, right? Yep. And I've always looked at it as being a little greasy going back 30 years ago. And now as it gets more modern, it gets a little bit more real when it's your kid, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. You know, when you get – as your kid gets older, all the professional athletes start to look younger. For some reason, you know, like when you're small, when you're young, those guys look like grown men. But when your kids get older, it's like, wow, they're only a couple years older than my son or daughter. But, you know, really, Nestor, the thing is, man, keep in mind, you know, the percentages of young people that really make it to the next level are literally 2-3%. So, again, at the end of the day, you know, how can these young people really even capitalize off these names, likenesses, and images? Because, again, like, it's not that many of them that are really going to make it to a professional sports career. Now, if I'm a young person and I play sports and I write a book, or like I said, any of the examples that I gave before, why can't I Why can't
making money off your notoriety is the point of having the notoriety. I remember a very wealthy man once said to me, being rich, good. Being famous, not so good. You know what I mean? Yeah, unless you can work on it. And I would think, and again, 30 years doing radio and talking to so many young people, to think that like when Coppin State, you know, won their big game 23 years ago, I brought Fang and his kids into the studio.
Okay.
And I have pictures of me sitting around with all the kids and they're all wearing Coppin gear. And, you know, they were a little dejected because they lost the second game, but they had, you know, they were the 2 to beat the 15 and all that. And I realized I gave them pizza and I broke the rules. See? I fed them pizza. I have pictures of it, and I'm like, I broke the rules.
You couldn't even take a pack of jelly a couple years ago in some states, you know, in the NCAA, a pack of jelly, and you didn't mean anything by it. You're just, hey.
Yeah, the sponsors. Pizza John sends me 4 pizzas over. I'm feeding these kids pizza, feeling good like I did something. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, these kids don't make any money. Give them pizza. Oh, my God, I'm costing them their scholarship.
Yeah,
you know,
Yeah.
But most people don't know about the rules. But then when you're a dad and you say, my son can't have a job, what, we can't make a living, can't sell what he has. I don't think most people realize how much you're signing away when you go. And they would all say, well, you get an education out of it. But also you're there to make money.
Hey, Nestor, let me tell you, the NCAA makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year off of student athlete sports. The life insurance policy on every student athlete in the NCAA, and I hope no other parent has to find this out the way we did, literally $10,000. So all you're saying is you make hundreds of millions of dollars, but the average, the young people that you're making this money off of are only worth this amount to you. So a lot of people don't know that, and that's just something to think on right there. Like, you know, really, the value of a student athlete is worth way more than that. And I just believe that a bill such as this not only shows value, but it empowers a student athlete. I applaud every student athlete that's saying, I'm not NCAA property. So we definitely, you know, I hope other states follow, take a domino effect with this and join the train, such as have the perseverance and fortitude that the state of Maryland had to protect its student athletes.
If you're looking for more information on this, you can find it at thejordanmcnairfoundation.org. Jordan's dad, Marty McNair, joining us here from Baltimore, you know, West Side, joining us downtown and doing things here in Baltimore. If I can help you in any way, you know, keep helping people, you know, strength to you and your family. I don't know what else to say. I waited a long time to have you on. I'm glad that that we made a visit, and I hope post-COVID we can get together and have a crab cake somewhere. Where's your crab cake place, by the way? I'm asking everybody this question, like, when somebody significant comes to town, you know, and visits, and you, where do you take them for a crab cake?
Coco's.
Oh,
Club.
There you go. All right. Coco's, well, that's, Brandon Scott tells me that. So
yeah, they got the best crab cake in literally in the city to me.
Well, that's going to be on, it's on the early list, because the mayor has told me when he was a city council president that see, I do Fadley's and I do Costas and they ship. But we're going to go out and we're going to try crab cakes everywhere. We're having a crab cake tour. I'm calling it a crab cake democracy is what we're going to do. So we're all going to get together and beer involved too, because I like beer too. So. Marty, take care of yourself, all right?
Hey,
take care
of your family. Thank you, Nestor. Take care.
Really nice to visit with you, all right?
Likewise.
Marty McNair joining us here, the father of Jordan McNair. You can find thejordanmcnairfoundation.org and find out all they're doing there to sort of change the world here, make it better, and make sure that the student athletes are given better representation more than anything else. All right, you can find me anytime, anywhere at BaltimorePositive.com. Nasty at WNST.net finds me and my long rock and roll Hammer Jack's hair as we get ready to hopefully bring back music, bring back sports, get back to the ballpark. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.